from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
Feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
At 5 o'clock tomorrow, it's over. 5 o'clock Central Time, that's the end of the trade deadline.
Who had Isaac Paredes to the Cubs on their deadline bingo cards?
The Dodgers will be acquiring Michael Kopech and infielder Tommy Edman from the White Sox and Cardinals, respectively, while the Cardinals will receive right-handed starter Eric Fett along with outfielder Tommy Pham. White Sox will acquire Miguel Vargas and two prospects.
The New York Yankees and Chicago Cubs are in agreement on a trade that will send right-handed reliever Mark Leiter Jr. to the Yankees and infielder Ben Cowles and right-handed reliever Jack Neely to the Cubs.
DeJong switching dugouts from White Sox Casey. I'm sure he's pumped about that.
The Baltimore Orioles are finalizing a deal to acquire Eloy Jimenez from the Chicago White Sox.
It's interesting, Molly, in Chicago, Cub fans, when they get traded, cry. If a White Sox player gets traded, I don't think he's crying.
They weep with joy.
Yeah, weep with joy.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Hi, Mom.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bye, Mom, would be the T-shirt these days.
Bye, Mom, for Eloy. Yeah, no doubt about it. Morning, Molly. It is Wednesday. Wednesday, July 31st. Happy Wednesday. I think we have the wrong date on the calendar in here, but we are going to persevere anyway. Yeah, the trade deadline came and went, and the Sox were active, but again, didn't make the big move. And the Cubs got rid of a relief pitcher, Mark Leiter Jr., and I think got some prospects back, but very difficult to interpret what they're doing except for trying to really thread the needle.
Yeah, I thought you put it really well yesterday. You said that they are opportunistic. And I feel like the relief pitchers that were traded, that was good value. You got something, even the White Sox got something for Tanner Banks. Every reliever really brought in, I mean, like none of the top, listen, it was an amazing trade deadline because there was tons of action, but there were no Hall of Famers traded and there were no top 100 players traded.
I thought that overall the trade deadline was active, but I'm not quite sure how, if it was as active or as newsworthy as we thought it would be. I thought it was relatively quiet based on previous years. Certainly not in Chicago, maybe with the White Sox, there were a lot of players leaving town. or maybe in Paul DeYoung's case, changing dugouts.
That was bizarre.
That was very bizarre.
I love that, though. I do love when guys are traded to the other team.
There weren't as many big names. When Jack Flaherty is the biggest name, probably the pitcher that goes on trade deadline day, it kind of tells you that it was relatively busy, but I think everything is relative. So the White Sox hold on to Garrett Crochet, good. The Cubs hold on to Jameson Taillon, smart. I think those are the two guys we wondered all day long if we'd be getting the notification that they were on their way out of town. The Eloy Jimenez trade surprised me. It only surprised me because I didn't think any team would want him.
I got to tell you, it surprised me because it wasn't a pure salary dump. They actually got a player in return. I don't know anything about the player they got. I didn't bother looking him up or spending time with it because I know he's not in anyone's top 30. I don't care. I shouldn't admit this, but we had a conversation off the air the other day where we talked about what are you going to do with that guy? And I suggested DFAing him after the trade deadline. That's how much he'd lost in my estimation.
They needed to move on, so did he.
They had to, and he did too.
A matter of just everyone's career when you have as many injuries and inconsistency as he has experienced lately.
When you become a representative of a horrible era.
You symbolize the disappointment that the White Sox have become. Right. It's time to change uniforms and cities and go in a new direction. So bye, Mom, indeed. Eloy Jimenez moves on. And you know what? He's got to feel like he's happy again. He's going to a team with World Series aspirations. I have no idea what role he will play or if he will play any role on that team. But you know what? He's going to be interested and engaged into October when it matters. That's a good team he's joining. I wish him well. Eloy Jimenez had terrible luck. He is injury prone. He's all the things that we have used to kind of describe him derisively the last several months and maybe several years. But he's a likable guy.
Oh, listen, his personality is fantastic. I wish him the best. I really do. I hope he does great. I hope all of the traded White Sox players do great. And it's fun to see Tommy Pham celebrate his trade by hitting a grand slam.
How about that?
Just given what the Cardinals surrendered, which didn't seem like much, did they already win that trade because the guy won a game for him?
He's definitely a quick impact player, as we saw with the White Sox. He seems to be a guy that definitely makes his presence felt.
Driven toward the gap, right center field. That ball is going to be gone! A grand slam to Tommy Pham! Holy cow!
Chip Carey's happy.
A grand slam for Tommy Pham. I didn't realize it rhymed.
Pham slam.
Well played, sir.
Fantastic. All the t-shirts in St. Louis now. He's going back. He's comfortable. He's on a team that has, again, playoff aspirations that are realistic. These guys have to feel like they have been, they're out on parole or they're just released. They're exonerated. Whatever the case is, they are free from the White Sox prison that they have been in the last several months, because that's got to be the way it feels in that clubhouse. Very difficult environment, as we heard a little bit yesterday. And we also can easily understand. So Tommy Pham, Eric Fetty, they're on the Cardinals. It's just it's a reprieve for their seasons and careers. And you got your t-shirt.
Shane Reardon, God love him, left me this t-shirt. It is I don't like our team. I can wear Sox gear again.
Can you show that to the Twitch audience one more time?
Yes.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool looking shirt.
Isn't that great?
Obvious shirts. I think obviously probably put that together.
I don't like our team.
He does not. Yes. And his actions of the last few days reflect that. I'm glad that he unloaded who he unloaded, Chris Getz. I'm glad he kept who he kept.
I am indebted to Shane, and I've got to do something nice for him.
That's not a good place to be.
But it was a very kind thing. And you can say, well, Molly, you could just order it, or you could drive by Obvious Shirts and pick one up. Like the idea of me doing that is just it probably would never happen.
Probably never happen.
With good intention. Yeah. So, I wouldn't do it. So I really appreciate Shane leaving that for me. I feel great that I can wear a sock shirt.
That's great that you can. I'm happy for your wardrobe. And we have, you know, do you ever buy any clothes, by the way?
No.
Okay.
It's one of the reasons.
You get Shane bringing you a T-shirt, yeah. Flag and Anthem clothing us every day of the summer. Thank you, Flag and Anthem. We love you.
I love Flag and Anthem.
Now you owe Shane something, and I don't think anybody wants to be in that spot.
No, it's an act of kindness.
It's going to include some sort of grilling thing.
Oh, that's what I should do. I should buy him some meat.
With Shane, it's either going to be about grilling or whiskey.
Yeah.
Maybe buy him a double bag of Kingsford charcoal briquettes. You get that double bag at like the Home Depot for $18.
Is he not smoking? Doesn't he have like, I know
he's got like four or five different
smoking
things
what?
To cook meats on.
Oh, meat. Okay. I didn't know what you were referring to.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
He makes a nice hash.
I'm not quite sure what you would get a Shane Reardon as a token of your appreciation.
I'll have to do something for him.
Well, trust me, this audio will come back, as typical morning show audio does on that show.
Yeah,
Outside of 4 o'clock today, they've got 4 o'clock, they've got El Presidente, Jed Hoyer, on.
Do they? Yes. Jed Hoyer today?
Jed Great. Hoyer today at 4. But other than that, there'll be plenty of open time to bring this
How are we
going to
program
back.
The rest of their show?
Well, I'll figure something out to say it during the pick six.
Well, I mean, you know, you can all deride everyone, but I'm very happy this morning, and I feel much appreciation.
That's good.
So all I gotta do is buy you a T-shirt once a week.
Well, I mean, I don't think you could bring yourself.
What are you gonna put on the front of the T-shirt?
I don't think you could bring yourself.
Depends on the message.
To buying any White Sox merchandise, Dustin, even something that is kind of.
I could do one of those sausages with the grilled onions. Those are awfully good.
Shane's not listening, though. Tanny will be listening. Tanny always listens, so Shane's still sleeping. Tanny will bring this back because that's what he does. That's his thing. So,
I mean, what's great is Tanny occasionally will be listening, and he'll tell us a piece of audio or make a suggestion. He helps the show, too.
He does. So. Team guy.
Bless all of them.
So the White Sox get rid of Eloy. The Cubs get rid of Mark Leiter Jr., who made his way to New York and already made an impact for the Yankees.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, just because of the lineage of his father, of his uncle, I think it's kind of cool for him.
I'm not, it is cool.
You're mad. Are you mad? Because they traded away a guy, but they didn't trade J-Mo.
Well, I'm happy they kept Jameson Taillon. And I understand the volatility of bullpens guarantees you nothing about 2025 when you're putting together a bullpen that counting on Mark Leiter Jr. to be maybe a setup guy in that role. But I feel like they need relievers and they gave one away. He's a quality guy that they gave away. I don't know about these prospects. And let's be honest about this conversation that we're having and have had about the return on trades that we see and headlines that we have very
little idea of how this is going to turn out.
We really don't.
Yeah.
And we sound
and
like,
we're not prospect huggers.
No, we're not. And we sound like we come from a place of authority. And with the White Sox and the Cubs and the way the front offices work and the way their executives think, I think we can speak to from experience and knowing these guys. That is not, I don't have any qualms about any conclusions that we jump to there. But it makes me uncomfortable when we declare things like, that's a terrible deal because that prospect isn't rated high enough, and how could they get that in return?
Well,
we have no idea.
Okay, that's fair, but you can also say that's a terrible deal because it's just a bunch of prospects, and it's not even the top guys in their system. So you can rely on Jim Callis and his ratings. They're usually spot on, and it does help to go back and look and see what those guys thought of these people in their system and then how that translates into the White Sox.
You can to some degree. I just don't know that I'm always comfortable going to the lengths that we go to declare things about a prospect that might be 14th rather than 19th or 7th rather than 27th because there's so much variance there. There's so much of a range. These are, in some cases, teenagers. In other cases, prospects that are not major leaguers anymore. And the projections can, and ranges of success or failure can be very, they can vary widely. So
It's fascinating to me that the Chicago White Sox managed to move six players. And I don't know how they did, but I don't know that they did phenomenally, right? I mean, I think that for a team that was going to be the biggest trader out there, for a team that traded, again, six different players, I can't sit there and watch them lose again with another eighth inning meltdown. Jonathan Cannon pitched his rear end off.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't sit here and say, oh, you know, they got better yesterday. Oh, they are improved and the future is brighter. I don't know that. I think it's more hope, but it's more down the line stuff. I look at this White Sox team and you just throw your hands up a little bit, right?
Well, of course.
It's difficult to figure out what.
Absolutely. They're basically doing things at the deadline. They're subtracting, and it's addition by subtraction because you're just getting rid of some players who are part of a historically bad team. You're trying to replenish your farm system with new young talent and hope that some of these prospects that you have evaluated pay off at some point. But I think it's a crapshoot. And I think that when you get a trade deadline like this one and they trade six players for the prospects that come in return, you're hoping that the quantity somehow allows you to find some quality within it. But I don't know. I think that it's the Jim Callises of the world may know better than we do. Jim Bowden, certainly. The guys who do this for a living.
Yes.
Have a better understanding of what the White Sox got and what they didn't get. But I just don't know that. I think we were all waiting for the Garrett Crochet deal or Luis Robert Jr. deal
right.
to bring in the guy like Spencer Jones,
yes.
who's ready and
yes.
on the verge yes. of breaking through.
Exactly.
The double A and single A prospects that are highly rated, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 2 years. They could be injured again. Heck, the Cubs traded for an injured guy.
Didn't they get three or four 19-year-olds?
Yes. There's a Yu Darvish trade all over again.
Yeah.
So you're waiting for these guys to pay off, and I can't tell you.
Is it wrong?
If they will or won't?
David, that I felt, I was monitoring it, I assure you, where I had MLB Network on. I was doing a countdown with the trade deadline. Is it wrong that I was relieved when I found out that Garrett Crochet was not being traded? I would use the word relieved because I felt like Chris Getz was going to get pennies on the dollar. For whatever reason, whether it's what Crochet and his people said, whether it was the way you went about, I just feel like they waited and waited and waited. And up till the last minute, there were deals being made, but they didn't get any real deals done. They got rid of six guys, right?
They got rid of six guys. And I think you're entitled to that kind of skepticism. That's fine. I think it's understandable. I was relieved that they kept him because I believe that they can build around him. And I think that if you have a plan, you have to have a clear idea of what you want to do to get out of this pit that you have dug for yourself.
Yes.
And part of that plan, to me, if I were in the White Sox front office and I would see a young, talented arm like Garrett Crochet and somebody who has become a pretty good leader in that clubhouse, regardless of the stuff that has gone on the periphery with his agents and representatives, I want him part of my future. So I'm not moving him. In the offseason, we'll reconsider. We'll have these conversations. But you know what else we're going to reconsider if I'm Chris Getz? Signing him long term.
I'm not arguing any of that. I just think that the problem is the guy he works for. And the White Sox don't sign pitchers. And they don't give money to pitchers. And they haven't.
How's that going for you? That going for you?
David.
That's my point is that
you're correct.
You've got to get to the offseason and maybe make another appeal. You've got been on the job a year.
Right.
Jerry, we've got to look at this a different way. Look what just happened. We've lost 200 games in two seasons. This isn't going well. Look around baseball. You've got Carlos Rodon pitching well for the Yankees. You've got Dylan Cease throwing no-hitters for the Padres.
Yes.
You've got Chris Sale. Which World Series ring am I going to wear to this party? He's going to win another one this year, maybe. Oh, not. Okay, that's exaggeration.
That's exaggerating because the Dodgers and the Phillies are also
exactly.
There.
The Braves are a pretty good team,
but
though.
That's.
But my point is.
I get your point.
Ronaldo Lopez is making all-star teams.
You've got
to invest.
You don't have to make that case to me. You have to make that case to the owner of the team. And all I'm saying is, if you study the way they have gone about doing business, it doesn't surprise me that they were going to trade maybe the best young pitcher actually on the market. Flaherty got traded at the end of the day, so the Dodgers did make a big move for a pitcher.
Is there some risk involved in that?
There is some risk, but there was risk involved with Crochet.
Right.
So I just think that when you kind of eyeball what has happened here with this team, I feel like they're still the over boss and his buddy.
We were relieved for different reasons, but yeah. you were relieved because you were afraid that he was going to screw it up and not get enough in terms of the return on the investment, and the investment being the trade. And I think that's fair. I think that's definitely fair. You got somebody who...
He was going to screw it up Fetty style.
Well, that's going to be interesting to hear more explanations as time goes on. I'd love to know more about the Cardinals and how they dealt with that trade and how they navigated it through the three-team deal to get two major leaguers that are going to contribute immediately.
Yeah, I'd like to know why the White Sox were in that deal. I want to know if the players they wanted from the Dodgers, they had to help the Dodgers get Edmund, who'd they trade for?
Tommy Edmund. Tommy Edmund. Switch hitter. Dodgers
good,
loaded up.
Good player, but he hadn't been used much.
The Dodgers built up their bench. They get Kiermaier as well. That's a good team. Now they got rid of they get major leaguers with experience. They trade away guys who were blocked.
Yeah.
Miguel Vargas shows up. I didn't realize he had a relationship with Luis Robert Jr. That seems to be significant. So they're friends on the White Sox in the clubhouse. I don't know what he's going to do, where he's going to play, but he's going to be in the middle of that lineup at some point.
I would ask the kid, what's your favorite position? What do you want to play? And then I would just move him there.
Do you get a sense of where that would be? Second base seems to be emerging as a possibility.
Fine by me.
Fine.
You know what I mean? Like, you got to look at, this guy is a young player who is here now, and he's major league ready. Let's find out. Right? And I feel like you got to kind of do that with a lot. I don't want them to... I don't want to rush the entire farm system into there.
You but you've got to be very careful. You need position players to develop so they catch up with your pitching.
Yes.
And again, I know the White Sox are what they are, but I also feel like if you're moving forward, you've got pitching infrastructure kind of under the auspices of Brian Bannister, and you really trust him.
Yes, he's good.
And so if you have Garrett Crochet, you have Brian Bannister, you've got Thorpe, you got Cannon, who was pretty good last night.
He was good.
And you go out and you got Schultz and you got the guy you drafted in Hagen Smith. Now you've got reason to believe in a plan. I don't know how much you believe in the person putting the plan together. Chris Getz has created some doubt surrounding him this week that's justified.
He's had a rough couple days.
But you've got to put something together professionally to move forward, and this looks like the best way the Sox can is that try to get the position players, bulk that up, sign some people, and then keep your pitching strong. Keep a strength of strength.
Yeah, I I don't know if they're ever going
to
win again. They're in
long
a six, meanwhile, 16 straight losses. 16. It's almost like you got to try to be that bad.
Yeah, and things start to happen because you start to believe they're going to happen.
Oh, exactly.
Losing is a habit.
Yeah.
And the Sox are very good at it.
They got a bad habit.
Yeah. I'm glad they kept him, though.
Bite my tongue. It's a bad habit.
I'm glad the Cubs kept Tyone as well.
I was looking at the Cubs differently maybe than you were, because I thought the word opportunistic, I thought that was a very important one for the way that I was judging what they were doing. And Jed talked about it, and you'll hear him on The Score at 4 o'clock today with the afternoon show. He's always good with those guys. Well, he's always good, Jed. But he explained what he said, which is they're thinking about not this year and helping this team. And listen, they're in last place. They're thinking about next year and how they get better and what they can do to get better. And I honestly, I think if they move Tyon, I think we'd be having a different conversation this morning than we're going to have because they moved Mark Leiter Jr.
I definitely agree.
God bless them.
I agree.
You know, good servant to the team.
Yeah.
You liked him. You trusted him. You don't have a lot of guys you feel that way about. But bullpens from year to year, as was, you know, did Albert... Did Adbert Alzolay not pull out of his rehab?
Yeah, it's tough.
I mean, it's hard.
It's volatile. It's ever-changing. And let's face it, with all due respect to Mark Leiter Jr., his family legacy with the Yankees and his place in Major League Baseball, to me, he was somewhat of a Cub creation. He came here. He wasn't having a lot of success. Yes. I don't want to say he was well-traveled, but he was an older guy to develop and find the secret of whatever he found. And I think a lot of that, part of that was related to the way the Cubs handled it. So, okay, if you want to get something back for him, they got a 6'8 right-hander, I believe, power pitcher from the Yankees in the system.
Don't you like a 6'8 guy? Isn't that fun?
Well, I mean, if he doesn't work out with the Cubs, maybe he could play power forward. I don't know.
Beach volleyball in the next Olympics.
No, what is it? Team handball?
Did you watch another one? Yeah.
That's a good one. Or the 3-on-3 basketball. Your guy, Jimmer Fredette.
Oh, I love Jimmer Fredette.
I know you.
They lost yesterday.
Yeah.
Jack Neely is a right-handed relief pitcher, 6'8".
That's pretty good.
Wow. How fast do you think he throws?
I mean,
he's got to have velocity, right?
I have not seen him throw, but I can envision like that, like giant lanky body kind of. Yeah, I think he could throw.
So the Cubs kind of, in getting Jack Neely, who I'm guessing is a 6'8 power pitcher, they get Nate Pearson from the Blue Jays, a guy with high velocity. Are they pivoting toward what is maybe the modern way of trying to build bullpens? You've got to get guys who are throwing heat. You can't be cute. You have to just almost concede that.
I trust the people there. Their pitch lab, they've done a good job of helping pitchers to develop. And I think we've seen it with the starting rotation, not so much the bullpen this year. But they've, you know, as you said, Mark Leiter Jr. didn't come in and wasn't some untouchable or anything like that. He was just he was a guy.
The Tommy Hotovy project. And Tommy paid off. Speaking of guys that we have regular, how about DJ Moore? We'll get to that.
Yeah, I'm so delighted for him.
Good for him.
I'm delighted for Caleb Williams. I'm delighted for the Bears.
I'm delighted for the Bears.
That DJ Moore is going to be around for a
smart
nice
move.
Long time. Smart, I totally agree.
Big move. A lot of money there, but it was a way the NFL structure now, and I think they did what they had to do.
All right, we've
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month. Brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email.
power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Got the pick six next. We got a lot to break down, and we'll do so next. Mully and Haw on the Score.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Pick Six, sponsored by Affinity Whole Health. Do what I did. Visit FeelGreatIllinois.com to learn more about their testosterone therapy or their weight loss options. Any disappointment that Bears coach Matt Eberflus announced that neither rookie quarterback Caleb Williams nor any of the Bears starters will play on Thursday night in the HOF game in Canton, Ohio. Are you pumped for the Tyson Bagent show? The plan is for Williams to get 45 to 55 snaps this preseason, presumably starting on August the 10th in Buffalo.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I mean, we're going. I got to be honest with you. I mean, I was looking forward to this. I was looking forward to just seeing him line up, seeing the rookie run out there, all that stuff. And now I'm not looking forward to it at all. Now it seems like a question of whether, of course we're going to watch the game. Of course, we're going to go, but do you want to? I mean, what to see what exactly? You know,
the Bagency, right?
Yeah. I mean, I love the Bagency. I think that's a fun story, but who are the guys around them? How it's just preseason football is rough. And by the end of it, how long is Bagent playing? Be honest with it. You know, he might play a quarter, a half. At most, probably not even that much, because you worry about the line behind him. So it's going to be the ripping show, right? It'll be ripping all sorts of passes one way or another. Maybe not. But it just doesn't really fire me up. I'm curious about the kickoffs just to see what it looks like. I don't think there's a lot in this game. I wonder, do we have any confirmation of whether or not Houston is going to play anybody? Because they made some interesting moves in the offseason, and they've got some people I wouldn't mind watching. I'm sure the quarterback won't play.
Can't imagine, especially now that Eberflus is out there.
I'm interested about I want to see their defensive ends.
I don't think Will Anderson is going to play either.
Or Daniel Hunter.
I doubt it.
Well, it's football. And it's going to be the first day of August. And to your point about the kickoffs, I'm very curious to see how that is going to be executed. I always like to see offensive and defensive linemen slamming into each other. That's always fun to see, no matter what. There's going to be great interviews with, I'm sure, Caleb Williams. We're going to hear from Hall of Famers during that broadcast, during that game, both on the radio and on television. So, I mean, there's things to look forward to. Of course, it's not the same as seeing, you want to say, I was there when Caleb Williams took his first snap as a Chicago. I felt lucky and privileged yesterday to get to see Caleb Williams in person and get within 100 yards of him yesterday up at Hallis Hall.
Lucky and privileged?
Lucky and privileged, yes. I did. It was good to see him. I enjoyed watching the offensive linemen sweating profusely, almost as bad as I was watching the practice.
How was Nate Davis?
Not there. Didn't see him.
Did not see him.
Not visible. Not see him. So listen, it's football. I'll tune in. I'm very curious to see what the ratings are like. Like how this game does. It's a standalone game. It's the only football game happening Thursday night. How does that do?
It's the first football game of the season.
How does that do versus the Olympics?
Well, I think that's a good question because
thank you, David.
It is the NFL, and it is as powerful as anything on television in terms of being a viewer magnet. So, not really that disappointed because it's not unexpected. We had talked ourselves into thinking that there was a possibility, and I still could make the argument that there's value in a rookie quarterback learning the operation, getting that muscle memory and learning how to manage that anxiety in a game situation. I think Caleb Williams lobbied to play, but I also don't think it's such a bad idea to get him to the point where, you know, you have to say no. You can tell your kid no. And it's as close to that as the Bears are going to get. So I think definitely you wanted to be there. You want to be there when Caleb Williams makes his debut, but I'm looking more at week one than any preseason opener. Look, I will officially, if you want, at 6:06 on July 31st, reopen the Bajency, because this is the beginning of Tyson Bajan's second NFL season. And I do think he's going to be better. I do think he's going to be pretty good. I do think he's going to make the people that mocked him last year feel a little silly if they're able to see that.
Who mocked him? Honestly, I thought he had an unbelievable year last year. It was 2-2.
I don't think you have to go too far to find people that mocked him, Molly.
Are you looking at Dustin?
No, I'm not looking at Dustin.
You're actually staring through me, but I don't think I destroyed him.
No, I don't think you did either. I think that there are people at this radio station that had a laugh or two and don't accept him maybe as an NFL quarterback. I think that's a ridiculous mistake.
And I love his arm wrestling father. I love that story.
I love the fact that I beat his arm wrestling father on television, so I have proof.
Does your arm still hurt?
No.
His does.
I mean, it's a great question.
What do you think about the Bears signing our guy, DJ Moore, 4 years, $110 million contract extension, 82.6 of that is guaranteed, even though he's had 2 years left on the deal? Does that put more or less pressure on Moore to be the most productive receiver among one of the NFL's top trios?
This really was extraordinary news. This is the largest contract extension in Bears history, the biggest contract they've ever written. So that's history. That's historic. That's monumental. All the things. I also think that it's, when you look at the NFL landscape and wide receivers, WR1s, if you will, the Justin Jeffersons of the world, this is smart. Brad Biggs just said a couple days ago, the Bears' business plan includes not giving guys extensions with more than 1 year left on their deals. This contradicts that. This is a new way of doing business at Hallis Hall. This is a smart way of doing business at Hallis Hall. It's hard to grasp and get your arms around it, but the price for wide receivers is going up exponentially. You think the quarterback market is expanding. The wide receiver market is at the same rate. Getting him locked up now tells you that your Super Bowl window is open for the next 3 to 4 years. That's smart. So he is now the seventh highest paid wide receiver in football, I believe, average annual salary. Every one of his 10 years in the NFL has been guaranteed. That's historic as well. This is also establishing a hierarchy at Hallis Hall, in case anybody wondered. DJ Moore still your number one wide receiver. Roma Dunze may have a great year as a rookie, as a ninth overall pick, and Keenan Allen is going to the Hall of Fame. But no doubt about it, Keenan Allen and Roma Dunze line up behind DJ Moore, who's number one.
I'm really happy for him. Nice guy. Heck of a nice guy. Really, the smile is contagious on that guy's face. I don't know that they needed to do this when they did it. And David, you just talked about it, and we're going to talk about Hall of Famers all, you know, today, tomorrow, and Friday with you guys going out to Canton. But, like, let's say Keenan Allen plays at a Hall of Fame level again this season, and that he and Caleb Williams create a bond. You're going to have to pay him, right? And are you going to be able to pay him? I'm just saying, maybe I'm happy. I like it. I'm just, maybe you could have waited till, like, the bye week, like they talked about having to wait till the bye week with Tevin Jenkins. Maybe you just had to wait a couple of minutes to do it so that you knew exactly how this was all going to work. But from a business standpoint, you're 100% right. Wide receiver contracts through the roof. You've got a great group of wide receivers. And now these two guys, plus Roma Dunze, are all connected contractually through the rookie deal, which is also a big, that's a big deal. That's huge.
Hey, I got to tell you, you know, you look at DJ Moore, he was their best offensive player last year. He was, clearly and frankly, by a distance. So you look at a guy like that, and now you go to him early, and you get him under contract, and you've got him to, what is it, 2029, something like that? This is a guy who is going to outplay his contract, his new contract. It is the third best guarantee among wide receivers, but right now it's the seventh best contract. By the time that contract is, by the time you're into the extension years, that contract is going to be outdated. There are going to be guys making significantly more money, but you know what? He's not going to care because he got paid and he was treated with respect And I got to tell you, they got two guys now that they traded for and they paid, and they are the best players on their side of the ball. That is DJ Moore and Montez Sweat. And I think if you can develop a player or two like that, if Caleb Williams can play as well as them, if Roma Dunze is as good as these guys, the Bears are going to be a force for years to come. I love that they got this guy under contract, and they're going to get his best years. He's 27 years old.
Goes a long way in the locker room when you reward guys like Montez Sweat and DJ Moore with those kind of long-term deals.
And you know, and DJ Moore is going to do exactly what he does. He's going to break his arse. He's going to make plays, and he's never, ever going to demand the ball or complain or put up any fuss. You want guys like him on your team.
Okay, next question.
That is the voice of Ozzie Guillen. He's with you guys at 8 o'clock. What do you think the White Sox ultimately decided and why to not get rid of Garrett Crochet at the trade deadline? Was it a good or a bad decision? What should the Sox do with Crochet now?
I told you I felt a sense of relief. I felt like they were not going to get whatever the value was they were looking for. There was a time where I thought they could go down to the wire and get all of those players they were looking for, multiple prospects. That's what they were looking for. And instead, the thing with the contract, the other issues, I think that Chris Getz was in a weakened position and not a strong negotiating spot, and therefore didn't make the trade, which I was relieved. I felt, you know, I'd love to see Garrett Crochet stay with the White Sox. I'd love to see him develop with the White Sox. I'd be curious to see what he can become in a couple of years, but I understand that the Sox don't want to pay guys, etc. They don't want to spend any money on pitchers. That's been a problem around here for a while, and you rattled off the names of some of the guys that are doing well around the league that the Sox helped develop. But I think Garrett Crochet can bring in the same haul in the offseason, in the winter, that he was going to bring in at the trade deadline. I really do. I think the problem now is figuring out how to use him. How important is it for him to build innings versus how careful do you have to be about his health as he builds those innings? So he's here. He's your guy. You can get over whatever offense you took, and you can move forward. And Getz talked about they have a good relationship, whatever. I don't think it matters, but I think that you just got to have a plan in place so that he is still the entity that he was, maybe even better if he can get his innings in, etc. But I'd be very careful with them, because anything goes awry and you've blown it.
Wow, Molly, leaning over to the bubble wrap side of things. I like it. Yeah, you got to be real careful with this guy. And I think they went to the last minute. I think the only team that was willing to give them what they wanted was probably the Dodgers, who in the end decided to go with a Tigers pitcher instead of the White Sox pitcher. But in the last question, we talked about the Bears giving the biggest contract they've ever given. How about the White Sox giving the biggest contract they've ever given to this guy? I think he's that good. I do.
Would he accept the Andrew Benintendi money?
That might not be enough. That might have to be the guaranteed part. Oh, right. Baseball's all guaranteed.
I'm glad they kept him. It's smart. I think that the ability to get a deal that was obviously in the White Sox favor was compromised by Garrett Crochet's representatives making their power play, doing everything within their rights to do last week. But it did impair Chris Getz's ability to do business. Okay. His feelings may be hurt, and then we can, you know, react to that however we wish. But I do think that it was, bottom line is, it wasn't as easy to get what you needed to get for Garrett Crochet after those comments were made. It narrowed the field. It reduced your leverage. Everybody who dealing with the White Sox were willing to give up just a little bit less in case they weren't able to strike a deal or get the extension done with Crochet. So Garrett Crochet, in some ways, if he wanted to get out of town, he sabotaged that process and he made it even harder for him to get out of town. So I hope, as we suggested, or as I suggested the other day, maybe he likes it here. Well, he better, because he just made it possible for him to stay here, at least through this miserable season. Now, in the offseason, maybe he can get the White Sox to look at the business plan a little differently so they don't have to look around the league and see guys they develop starring for other teams, winning championships and throwing no-hitters and making all-star teams for other teams. Jerry Reinsdorf might want to look around and see that trend and want to stop it. Lock up Garrett Crochet long-term, do it in the offseason. If you try to trade him again, I think you're going to come to the same conclusion. It's not worth having him elsewhere. Let him stay here and try to build around him.
It's a good question.
All right, that's Chris Chelios, 844. He'll have thoughts about what the Cubs and White Sox did, plus a little hockey talk and Caleb Williams talk. What was the most comical White Sox trade on Tuesday, or the trade deadline coming to an end? The Paul DeJong going to Kansas City for a minor league reliever who is not in the top 30 players list. DeJong just had a walk across home plate, right? He went from one clubhouse over to the other. Those were some fun pictures to see. Lefty Tanner Banks goes to the Phillies, who is rated 10th in the Phillies system by Baseball America. So that's some good news, maybe. Maybe not. We're going to find out what the guy's thinking in a moment. Eloy Jimenez to the Orioles for a lefty reliever and a, was it a salary dump?
Well, I think this question is structured, so we're going to look at Chris Getz in a way that I think a lot of people are looking at Chris Getz this morning. The back page of the Sun-Times is Chris Getz, and the headline's Blind Ambition. So he's an easy target. And I think that when you look at the Crochet comments, people are going to think that everything else is going to fall in line. Truth is, I really don't know anything about Gerald Rosado. I don't know anything about William Begulia, who's 10th in the Philly system. I don't know anything about a lot of these prospects, and I'm not going to claim to. So I think when you get Eloy Jimenez to Baltimore, to me, that's a victory because you got something in return. And Trey McGow, the left-handed reliever, seems to have a reputation that things you can probably do something with him. White Sox have a lot of dead weight on that roster. And this trade deadline, as much as anything, if you're holding on to Robert Jr. and if you're holding on to Crochet, this deadline was about shedding as much dead weight as possible. The only thing that I would regret about this deadline is not necessarily the people in return that you don't know if they're going to be good or not. The only bad thing about this deadline is that Yoan Moncada wasn't able to be traded because he's more dead weight you're going to shed by the end of the season when he's out of contract. So this was all addition by subtraction once you decided you weren't going to deal Crochet and Robert Jr.
Maybe Moncada, and I know I've talked about it before, and maybe a position change, would that help? Maybe if you moved him over to second base and got him off of third base. I'm not 100% sure what to do with him. But, I mean, show of hands by any White Sox fan. I mean, did anybody on the Sox want Eloy Jimenez around anymore? There was also reports that they were going to not pick up the next two options. That was fairly obvious. Mully, you brought it up, and you know, if they hadn't moved him, they probably would have cut him. Right. So at least did you get something and you got him out of here? I would imagine he's a good teammate, but never available. David, you mentioned, you know, ran into some bad luck. Maybe the Cubs were, you know, for a while it looked like, boy, the Cubs were dopes for getting rid of that guy. And every time he went to Wrigley Field during the Crosstown Classic, he would make the Cubs pay. But maybe the Cubs knew that he just was not serious enough to be a big leaguer. Hey, everybody knew the Sox were going to sell. So if you know you're going to sell, what are you going to get back? That's part of the problem that Getz was facing, I think. I'm glad he didn't move Crochet. We just talked about it. This could have been worse. Believe it or not, this could have been worse.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it could have been worse. I mean, it's tough. It's really a rough one to kind of look at. I suppose the word comical was, you know, the bad word in this question, because I think it's fun when you walk from one clubhouse to the other. I think that's kind of funny to see, and it happens in baseball and no other sport, really. I think that the idea of Eloy just being kind of a salary dump is kind of funny. I was surprised they even got a player. I'm not kidding. And I hope for the best for him. It was one of the more frustrating career arcs to watch in Chicago, to watch that guy. Tough, you know, just really difficult to see what happened to him and all the injuries. And somebody put together, I saw on Twitter, like a list of him on the ground you know, and guys running out. It's just
it's hard.
It's because really
he was likable.
Lovely fella. Great guy. Hi, Mom. I mean, who didn't like that?
I was cleaning up my phone, a lot of old photos and videos the other day over the weekend. And I had a video in there of Eloy Jimenez from before he arrived, before he played, had his first major league at bat in Arizona, spent like 20 minutes with him in a conference room and him just talking about the possibility of his career, the hope and potential that he represented. And it was just like, oh my gosh, that was such a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
And it seemed like it was forever ago. And what happened?
Didn't you think he was going to be like a 50 homer a year?
Yes.
I mean, honestly.
I was mocked for how I thought he was going to be, you know, a guy who could hit 40 and drive in 100.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin from Palatine's having a field day on this one.
He might be having a Malloy party. All right, here we go. Here's the next one. This one's on the Cubs. What's your take on the Cubs trading righty reliever Mark Leiter Jr. over to the Yankees for infielder Ben Coles and a 6'8" righty reliever Jack Neely? Is this another opportunity move by Jed Hoyer?
Yeah, you know, I think that I went from feeling like the Cubs were going to be building, and then I thought maybe they'll get a catcher, and then they made this move. And I was kind of thinking, wow, you know, it's the relievers. Just look at relievers moving in this market. A lot of them moved, and there was reward for that. So I think they did okay in this trade. I don't like seeing guys that are dependable leave a bullpen that's not dependable. Now, the bullpen yesterday wasn't the problem, only gave up one run. But I can understand why people look at Mark Leiter Jr. and think, well, that's the only guy I felt okay when he came into the game. But I don't know if anyone's paying attention. The Cubs aren't doing very well, and they just lost another series, regardless of what happens. They've lost two in a row now to Cincinnati, and that's the team you need to beat up on, and they're looking up at them. So I think it's a different time of year, and I think that I think they did some good stuff. And I think they now did something where they realized that this isn't working out, and that. But to me, it's just threading that needle, and it's an opportunity move. I think they wouldn't have done this maybe if they had won the week before. But I think it was the right thing to do given the age and the time and all the rest.
Well, this, if there was any question about what the Cubs are up to, if they're buyers or sellers, and it might have been Monday's absolute laugher of a contest when the Reds absolutely pounded the Northside baseball team, this move said that the 2024 season has been put to bed. It's over. Shota Imanaga should treat Shota like the White Sox are going to treat Crochet. He should throw four innings max. Okay, same thing with Justin Steele. There's nothing else to see. That's it. Four innings, move on. This was the one dependable guy that I always felt good about. And he didn't always do it, but nobody ever always does it. I'm sure Mark Leiter Jr. is thrilled to be in New York. He's got lineage there. Uncle, dad played for the Yankees. He got there. How did that happen? I know there are more flights from Chicago to New York than there are from Tampa to Cincinnati. But somehow he managed to get there and contribute in his very first on his new team.
Okay. Hate to burst your bubble. The Cubs could have won both games in Cincinnati, and they still would have traded Mark Leiter Jr.
Yeah.
This is a trade deadline that has changed the way we should look at trade deadlines. And Coom talked about this yesterday on the broadcast with Pat, and we'll talk to him at 9 o'clock. But I think we're such a habit because it's so convenient and easy, and they make great graphics of buyers and sellers. Which are they? We can start talking about it in May. Truth is that it's not really the case. There are two times when teams can really be active in improving the rosters and getting quality and acquiring talent. It's right before the trade deadline when everybody's open for business, and then again in the offseason at the winter meetings for GMs and team executives. I think this was an opportunity that the Cubs took advantage of. They got a 2-for-1. They got two prospects for a guy that they helped rehabilitate his career with the pitching lab and all the infrastructure the Cubs take advantage of with Tommy Hotovy and before that Craig Breslow, all the guys that are smart and put these pitchers on the right track. So I think Mark Leiter Jr. is just the latest example of they flipped him, essentially. He was valuable in their bullpen. And you know what they feel like? Thank you for the memories. We'll find another guy. The light show moves on in New York. They're not going to miss him.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
They're not going to miss him. Look?
What did he do?
They're not going to miss Mark Leiter Jr.
Not this year. You just said this year's over anyway.
Yeah.
They're not going to miss him next year because next year's another year. No, they're not going to miss him, Dustin.
They're going to try to catch the White Sox, I guess. Who won the MLB trade deadline? Which team got most notably better and did any team?
One second. I'm sorry. Are you saying that they're going to lose 16 consecutive games because there's no Mark Leiter Jr.? Is that what you're saying?
Because there's no Mark Leiter Jr. And if they're smart, they're going to limit playing time for their starters. They're going to follow the Bears.
Maybe they'll bring up some young players. Bring
them up. Seriously.
I know.
Bring them up. Let's see if they can do anything in big situations. Pete Crow Armstrong should lead off every day so that he gets three or four or five at-bats every single game. That's not the question. The question is, who won the MLB trade deadline? Which team got most notably better? And did any team improve enough to make them a title contender? Who lost? Which team accomplished the very least?
Well, I think the White Sox accomplished the very least because they had the most to gain.
Yeah.
And they gave away six players, and it's really hard to look at, all right, they traded six players. What are you excited about? The haul in return,
the quantity
that outweighs the quality? No, you're kind of maybe sort of excited about Miguel Vargas. All right, fine. He might be a good player, but I don't think that you were expecting to just have him to focus on. In terms of the winners, fantastic down in St. Louis. Tommy Pham, a grand slam, pinch hit grand slam. They get Eric Fetty. They're more serious contenders than they were 3 days ago. The Dodgers keep on adding. They got Flaherty. They got Kopech. They got better with Kiermaier on the bench. They just have depth, and they know what moves to make. And that's what happens when you have a great system. I think the Orioles probably feel very good about where they are after the deadline. I was a little surprised that the Phillies didn't make more of a splash with a bat. They did a lot of moves.
Got Tanner Banks?
Maybe it wouldn't be something if Tanner Banks ends up being a big, high leverage lefty
reliever. Come on.
It's a lot of fun to consider. The Phillies were already very, very good, but I think the Cardinals actually might have been the team that did the best.
Well, the Padres did a ton. Now, they're rolling the dice. They're always kind of a live wire. They traded for two of, if not the two best relievers that were available from the Rays and the Miami Marlins. And they traded some of their best talent to do that. And then last night, they walk off the Dodgers, right? Like, not on top of it, they were down 5-0. They come all the way back, and Manny Machado, sorry, White Sox fans, hits an unbelievable home run and helps them win that game. So they did a ton. You know, the Yankees probably just did enough. They got Jazz Chisholm.
Oh, yeah, Jazz.
And he's paid off, like, immediately.
Jazz hands.
That's like buying a $2 scratch-off ticket and winning $2,000. That's what happened. And I'm not saying that Jazz Chisholm was a $2 scratch, but I mean instant impact. And they're playing the Phillies.
Yeah.
They're playing the Phillies who, you know, that could be a World Series preview, if you will. Imagine, gosh, could you imagine if that was the World Series?
Did you see he used Aaron Judge's bat? He got Aaron Judge's bat and hit two home runs with it. Come on.
And then I thought the Orioles would do more. I think they might be a little too puffy chested, and here come the Red Sox and here come the Yankees. So maybe the Orioles should have done a little bit more while those two teams were a little bit down.
Yeah, I hate to say it, but I do think that if we're looking at winners and losers, the White Sox may have lost the trade deadline, because you look at a team like the Marlins, they had a fire sale, and they got rid of a bunch of players, and they brought in other things. And, you know, they traded, as you say, Jazz Chisholm. Brian De La Cruz, a good player. I mean, their closer had an expiring contract, and they traded him. They did a very good job of the sort of thing that you were hoping the Sox were going to end up doing. I think that the Dodgers may have won. Dodgers have the money. They got the prospects. Dodgers seem to be in a great place. I agree with you, David. I think St. Louis did very well, all things considered. It's pretty extraordinary. Another one of the losers, I thought, was I didn't understand why Pittsburgh didn't try to help Skeens. I think we know he's not going to be in the playoffs now. I think we're fairly certain about that. I thought they might spend some money, make some deals, etc., but they didn't do anything. It's a weird time of year, and we didn't see a Hall of Fame. It wasn't like Max Scherzer was traded, right? We've seen guys move at the deadline that you think are going to be in the Hall of Fame. That didn't happen this year. And it was more about just sort of, you know, aiding yourself in different areas. There were tons of moves, but I don't know that there was like an absolute now we're a world champion type of team out there. I think a lot of good teams got a little bit better, and we'll see where that ends up. But I don't know that there's an absolute kind of answer to that question. All right, we got the extra point next, 312-644-6767. We're going to get to your calls. I know people are already calling in. We'll get to that after the extra point. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
The Bears leave for Canton, Ohio later today for Thursday's Hall of Fame game that kicks off a big weekend for the franchise. Former Bears Steve McMichael, Devin Hester, Julius Peppers being enshrined. How many future Hall of Famers are on the Bears roster right now?
Wow.
Are there any?
That's quite a question. And this is going to be a great opportunity for the Bears to go through the Pro Football Hall of Fame and see just how many players are there that wore the same uniform. I loved what Matt Eberflus had to say yesterday about taking time for everyone to go and soak that in. They're going to meet with Hester. They're going to meet with people like Peppers. They're going to meet with they know the story about Steve McMichael. All that we'll talk about, but tremendous opportunity to appreciate the history and the heritage of the Chicago Bears as an organization. Now, if I were FanDuel, say, and I were laying odds on what Bears players on this roster are going to the Hall of Fame, I think the best bet, if you will, is obviously Keenan Allen. Obviously, it's Keenan Allen. You look at the weight of his career, the numbers. He has 1 year here. We'll get to what Dustin had to say about whether or not they have to pay him or not. I don't think you have to. We'll talk about that later. But he is clearly the guy that is referred to as future Hall of Famer. The next name on the list, in terms of odds to get to the Hall of Fame, I'm sorry, it's Caleb Williams. It would be Caleb Williams. He is the guy that has the second highest odds, I would think, or second best odds to be a pro football Hall of Famer if you're looking at this Bears roster. Then DJ Moore. Then maybe Montez Sweat. And then maybe one of the defensive backs. That's a real stretch, but Kevin Byard might be the most qualified guy, the guy we talked to yesterday. Wasn't that fun?
That he's good.
Oh, my gosh.
Great talk.
I liked him a lot.
That guy's great. So anyway, it's kind of a ridiculous premise, but I do think Keenan Allen's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and the guy who would be the most likely to after him hasn't taken an NFL snap yet. That's why it's ridiculous, but it also is reflecting reality.
It's a really interesting question, and I'll tell you, DJ Moore is being paid like a guy who potentially could go to the Hall of Fame. And David, you brought up odds. How about this? Circus Sports, DJ Moore for this season, they have his total set at 950.5 yards. 950.5. Last year, he had over 1,300. He's also plus 3,300 to have the most receiving yards in the league. That's the 11th best odds of any player in the league. Tyreek Hill has the shortest odds at plus 700 to lead the league in wide receiver. Again, that's at circussports.com. I got to look deeper at Keenan Allen. I mean, you say Keenan Allen, David, and you say Hall of Fame. You just immediately say Hall of Fame with that guy. I gotta look a little deeper.
904 catches, 10,530 receiving yards.
It's a lot of yards.
Not nearly enough.
It's a lot of yards.
To get in the Hall of Fame, you need 1,400, which he, you know,
14,000?
14,000, excuse me.
Okay.
He could do that, right? I mean, he could conceivably. But he has to play another, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, David, I hope you're right. I hope Caleb Williams is a Hall of Famer. Of course. Absolutely. You got to hope that. You got to hope that DJ Moore is a Hall of Famer. If this group is in their window to win, and winning helps you get to the Hall of Fame, then there should be two or three guys. One guy from that secondary. And that guy could be Jalen Johnson. Again, being paid like one of the elite players at his position currently.
You know, here's the problem, and this is something you got to consider when you're kind of figuring out who goes into the Hall of Fame. Generally speaking, the toughest position to get in is the wide receiver position, because there are tons of guys that, you know, aren't eligible yet. You know, is Larry Fitzgerald a Hall of Famer? Of course he is. Deshaun, the guy from Philly, what's his name? Is he a Hall of Famer? Deshaun Jackson? I don't know, man. I mean, I would think he is.
Yeah.
15 years.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, Henry Ellard, Anquan Boldin,
it's a long
Steve
line.
Smith, Hines Ward.
Long line.
Think about all the guys not
long
in.
Long line.
It's an unbelievably long line. And like I say, Keenan Allen, God bless him, still has work to do if he's going to the Hall of Fame. Right now, DJ Moore, someone said, is DJ Moore a Hall of Famer? He's got 460 catches, 6,565 yards. He would need to double those numbers, and then he'd be just shy of the numbers
then
you need.
Then he's in the ballpark.
That's what I'm saying. I think the cornerback position, you know, Jalen Johnson had a real good year last year. He's kind of getting to that point. He's getting the attention. That's the next most difficult position to get.
Is Charles Tillman still waiting?
Charles Tillman's going to be waiting for a while.
Yes.
There's a huge line.
So who else?
You know, I look at this. You mentioned the quarterback position. I think wide receivers are really tough to get in. The secondary, generally speaking,
yes.
both corners and safeties. Then I would say quarterback.
Is easiest or hardest?
It's difficult to get in.
Unless you win a championship.
You got to win
a championship.
If you win a couple titles,
then you're in.
Okay. So I know
saying.
You believe that's going to happen.
I don't believe it's going to
happen. No, you just said you thought he was the best candidate.
I think if you're laying odds.
But the thing is, what he's got going for him is he is starting as a starter, and he is going to his first year. And I know this is insane to say. He could throw for 4,000 yards in his first year.
It's not
insane.
Stop saying that. It's not insane.
It's never happened before for the Bears.
I know, but it's not insane.
I'm just saying, with the weaponry around him, if we're really talking about how good these guys are, and Rome Odunze, a guy that could have a career. He's a big, strong guy. Can he play 15 years in the league?
815 says Torrey Taylor.
Okay. There's one punter in the Hall of Fame.
I know. We're going to find him.
And we're going to go take a photo.
Yep.
But I'm just telling you, Hall of Fame, guys, this is so big. This is so important. It is such a great moment. There are 371 NFL players in the Hall of Fame. That's it. And now you got Steve McMichael, Julius Peppers. God bless Devin Hester going in. The Bears nearly drafted Dwight Freeney. They wanted to, and he wasn't there for them. So a lot of Hall of Famers, a lot of stuff to talk about. Can't wait to get down there. It's Mully and Haw. 312-644-6767. That's the number. What do you think? Are you happy the Cubs made a trade? Are you disappointed with the Sox trade? How about DJ Moore getting paid? Are you okay with the starters not playing? 312-644-6767 is the number. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hi, Mom.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. This excites me. Dustino just handed us a list of the class of 2024, all the guys going into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be fun.
Yeah,
we're going to have a really good time.
That'll be fun. Eloy Jimenez saying, hi, Mom. Bye, Chicago. And we're going to Canton tomorrow.
Yes.
So,
we're going today. We'll broadcast from Canton tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow morning and Friday morning after the Bears and Texans game on Thursday night.
Look great in that new shirt, by the way, buddy.
Thanks.
Just haven't mentioned
around.
It yet.
Yeah,
flagging to hit them.
Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah, it's definitely a comfortable shirt. They take care of us.
You do.
You know, Shane buys you T-shirts, and I just wear my flag and anthem. What Shane want them. By getting you a T-shirt? What's he angling for?
I think he understands my pain. I think he's also a Sox fan, and he knows that this is difficult to go through. A
lot of pain for Sox fans. 16 in a row. It's really It's unprecedented, literally.
Yeah, it is unprecedented.
It's unwatchable, definitely. And you, I didn't think we'd get to the point where Eloy Jimenez was traded and there'd be so much relief. And
You are right. That is amazing that that's where we're at.
Cubs officially won that trade now.
Is that right?
Whatever they got out of Quintana. Right?
No, because okay, they got a lot for Dylan Cease.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Okay, that's true.
So I can't – they didn't get enough. They did win the playoffs, right? They went into the playoffs.
With Quintana?
Didn't they?
Or with Cease?
With Quintana.
Yeah, with Quintana they did, I believe.
I'm just saying.
Quintana was
– playoffs?
Not exactly.
He could beat the Brewers. That's what he could do.
He was
he could beat the Brewers.
Milwaukee, yeah. I like Jose Quintana.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But that was what a trade. It was a great conversation for so many years. And nobody would have thought, again, when Eloy Jimenez was tearing up Cub pitching at Wrigley Field and just being the guy that you thought you would regret, thanks Cubs, all those things, right? Remember those days? No, you don't barely remember it because it seems like such a long time ago. He fell fast, and it was because his body broke down.
So they got rid of. They traded six players.
They got rid of six players.
They traded Eric Fetty and got rid of five other players. But Michael Kopech and Eloy Jimenez, two of the guys that were traded.
Two of the guys that were going to be cornerstones of the next great Sox team.
And two of the representatives of that failed rebuild.
Metaphors that symbolize failure and unfulfilled potential. That's why they had to go, frankly.
Yeah.
Every time you saw Michael Kopech, you imagined him throwing the ball 100 miles per hour to the ground. And every time you saw Eloy Jimenez, you worried about him pulling a hammy rounding first.
Told you, they would drive out in those cars to introduce the players, and I'd be like, you know, I'd be like, get him inside. Don't let him sit back.
Buckle up, Eloy.
Oh, do you remember when Rick Hahn was mad that people were calling him injury prone?
He is not injury prone. He just is on the injured list a lot. But he is not prone to injury because that is not that was a miss. That was one of his times. Rick misspoke.
Who's left?
Who's left?
Moncada. Is he?
Luis Robert Jr.
Luis Robert Jr.
He's still.
That's different.
He made an All-Star game. I think it's different.
He doesn't symbolize failure yet.
No,
he's still a guy that you think you can be.
Right.
He's got to be part of the next build.
Yeah,
the rebuild.
Does. Yeah, he's under contract for a while.
He's affordable.
I said that I thought he would be an All-Star this year again, and I thought he'd be the starter in the game over Mike Trout. Do you remember that? Because I felt like Trout has been breaking down. And by the way, Trout probably won't be back for the year. So all the good things worked out to get him a starter except for his season.
He's got to stay healthy. He's got to learn that.
Yeah, he's got to figure it out.
Tough reality.
All right, 312-644-6767. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
On 670 The Score.
The Bears leave for Canton, Ohio later today for Thursday's Hall of Fame game that kicks off a big weekend for the franchise. Former Bears Steve McMichael, Devin Hester, Julius Peppers being enshrined. How many future Hall of Famers are on the Bears roster right now?
Wow.
Are there any?
That's quite a question. And this is going to be a great opportunity for the Bears to go through the Pro Football Hall of Fame and see just how many players are there that wore the same uniform. I loved what Matt Eberflus had to say yesterday about taking time for everyone to go and soak that in. They're going to meet with Hester. They're going to meet with people like Peppers. And they're going to meet with they know the story about Steve McMichael. All that we'll talk about, but tremendous opportunity to appreciate the history and the heritage of the Chicago Bears as an organization. Now, if I were FanDuel, say, and I were laying odds on what Bears players on this roster are going to the Hall of Fame, I think the best bet, if you will, is obviously Keenan Allen. Obviously, it's Keenan Allen. You look at the weight of his career, the numbers. He has 1 year here. We'll get to what Dustin had to say about whether or not they have to pay him or not. I don't think you have to. We'll talk about that later. But he is clearly the guy that is referred to as future Hall of Famer. The next name on the list in terms of odds to get to the Hall of Fame, I'm sorry, it's Caleb Williams. It would be Caleb Williams. He is the guy that has the second highest odds, I would think, or second best odds to be a pro football Hall of Famer. If you're looking at this Bears roster, then DJ Moore, then maybe Montez Sweat, and then maybe one of the defensive backs. That's a real stretch, but Kevin Byard might be the most qualified guy. The guy we talked to yesterday wasn't that fun.
That he's good.
Oh
dude.
My gosh,
great talk.
Liked him a lot.
That guy's great. So anyway, it's kind of a ridiculous premise, but I do think Keenan Allen's going to go to the Hall of Fame, and the guy who would be the most likely to after him hasn't taken an NFL snap yet. That's why it's ridiculous. But it also is reflecting reality.
It's a really interesting question. And I'll tell you, DJ Moore is being paid like a guy who potentially could go to the Hall of Fame. And David, you brought up odds. How about the Circus Sports? DJ Moore for this season, they have his total set at 950.5 yards. 950.5. Last year, he had over 1,300. He's also plus 3,300 to have the most receiving yards in the league. That's the 11th best odds of any player in the league. Tyreek Hill has the shortest odds at plus 700 to lead the league in wide receiving. Again, that's at circussports.com. I got to look deeper at Keenan Allen. I mean, you say Keenan Allen, David, and you say Hall of Fame. You just immediately say Hall of Fame with that guy. I gotta look a little deeper.
904 catches. 10,530 receiving yards.
It's a lot of yards.
Not nearly enough.
It's a lot of yards.
To get in the Hall of Fame, you need 1,400, which he, you know,
14,000?
14,000, excuse me.
Okay.
He could do that, right? I mean, he could conceivably. But he has to play another, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, David, I hope you're right. I hope Caleb Williams is a Hall of Famer. Of course. Absolutely. You got to hope that. You got to hope that DJ Moore is a Hall of Famer. If this group is in their window to win, and winning helps you get to the Hall of Fame, then there should be two or three guys. One guy from that secondary, and that guy could be Jalen Johnson. Again, being paid like one of the elite players at his position currently.
Here's the problem, and this is something you got to consider when you're kind of figuring out who goes into the Hall of Fame. Generally speaking, the toughest position to get in is the wide receiver position, because there are tons of guys that, you know, aren't eligible yet. You know, is Larry Fitzgerald a Hall of Famer? Of course he is. Deshaun, the guy from Philly, what's his name? Is he a Hall of Famer? Deshaun Jackson? I don't know, man. I mean, I would think he is.
Yeah.
15 years. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Torrey Holt, Reggie Wayne, Andre Johnson, Henry Ellard, Anquan Boldin,
it's a long
Steve
line.
Smith, Hines Ward.
Long line.
Think about all the guys not
long
in.
Long line.
It's an unbelievably long line. And like I say, Keenan Allen, God bless him, still has work to do if he's going to the Hall of Fame. Right now, DJ Moore, someone said, is DJ Moore a Hall of Famer? He's got 460 catches, 6,565 yards. He would need to double those numbers, and then he'd be just shy of the numbers
then,
you
then
need.
Then he's in the ballpark.
That's what I'm saying. I think the cornerback position, you know, Jalen Johnson had a real good year last year. He's kind of getting to that point. He's getting the attention. That's the next most difficult position to get.
Is Charles Tillman still like waiting?
Charles Tillman's going to be waiting for a while.
Yes.
There's a huge line.
So who else?
You know, I look at this. You mentioned the quarterback position. I think wide receivers are really tough to get in. The secondary, generally speaking,
yes.
both corners and safeties. Then I would say quarterback.
Is easiest or hardest?
It's difficult to get in.
Unless you win a championship.
You've
got to win a championship.
If you win a couple titles.
Then you're in.
Okay. So, I know you believe that's going to happen.
I don't
and
believe it's going to
happen. No, you just said you thought he was the best candidate.
I think if you're laying odds.
But the thing is, what he's got going for him is he is starting as a starter, and he is going to his first year. And I know this is insane to say. He could throw for 4,000 yards in his first year.
It's not insane. Stop saying that. It's not insane.
It's never happened before for the Bears.
I know, but it's not insane.
I'm just saying, with the weaponry around him, if we're really talking about how good these guys are, and Rome Odunze, a guy that could have a career. He's a big, strong guy. Can he play 15 years in the league?
815 says Torrey Taylor.
Okay. There's one punter in the Hall of Fame.
I know. We're going to find him.
And we're going to go take a photo.
Yep.
But I'm just telling you, Hall of Fame, guys, this is so big. This is so important. It is such a great moment. There are 371 NFL players in the Hall of Fame. That's it. And now you got Steve McMichael, Julius Peppers. God bless Devin Hester going in. The Bears nearly drafted Dwight Freeney. They wanted to, and he wasn't there for them. So a lot of Hall of Famers, a lot of stuff to talk about. Can't wait to get down there. It's Mully and Haw. 312-644-6767. That's the number. What do you think? Are you happy the Cubs made a trade? Are you disappointed with the Sox trade? How about DJ Moore getting paid? Are you okay with the starters not playing? 312-644-6767 is the number. Mully and Haw on the Score.
Hi, Mom.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. This excites me. Dustino just handed us a list of the class of 2024, all the guys going into the Hall of Fame. It's going to be fun.
Yeah,
we're going to have a really good time.
That'll be fun. Eloy Jimenez saying, hi, Mom. Bye, Chicago. And we're going to Canton tomorrow.
Yes.
So,
we're going today. We'll broadcast from Canton tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll be there tomorrow morning and Friday morning after the Bears and Texans game on Thursday night.
Look great in that new shirt, by the way, buddy.
Thanks.
I haven't mentioned it yet.
Yeah,
flagging anthem. Yeah. God bless you.
Yeah, it's definitely a comfortable shirt. They take care of us.
You do.
You know, Shane buys you t-shirts, and I just wear my flagging anthem. What's Shane want by getting you a t-shirt? What's he angling for?
I think he understands my pain. I think he's also a Sox fan, and he knows that this is difficult to go through. A
lot of pain for Sox fans, 16 in a row. It's really, it's unprecedented, literally.
Yeah, it is unprecedented.
It's unwatchable, definitely. And I didn't think we'd get to the point where Eloy Jimenez was traded and there'd be so much relief. And
you are right. That is amazing that's where we're at.
Cubs officially won that trade now.
Is that right?
Whatever they got out of Quintana. Right?
No.
Because okay.
They got a lot for Dylan Cease.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Okay, that's true.
So I can't. They didn't get enough. They did win the playoffs, right? They went into the playoffs.
With Quintana?
Didn't they?
Or with Cease?
With Quintana.
Yeah, with Quintana they did, I believe.
I'm just saying.
Quintana was...
Playoffs?
Not exactly.
He could beat the Brewers. That's what he could do.
He was
he could beat the Brewers.
Milwaukee, yeah. I like Jose Quintana.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
But that was... What a trade. It was a great conversation for so many years. And nobody would have thought, again... When Eloy Jimenez was tearing up Cub pitching at Wrigley Field and just being the guy that you thought you would regret, thanks Cubs, all those things, right? Remember those days? No, you don't barely remember it because it seems like such a long time ago. He fell fast, and it was because his body broke down.
So they traded six players.
They got rid of six players.
They got rid of six players. They traded Eric Fetty and got rid of five other players. But Michael Kopech and Eloy Jimenez. Two of the guys that were traded.
Two of the guys that were going to be cornerstones of the next great Sox team.
And two of the representatives of that failed rebuild.
Metaphors they symbolize failure and unfulfilled potential. That's why they had to go, frankly.
Yeah.
Every time you saw Michael Kopech, you imagined him throwing the ball 100 miles per hour to the ground. And every time you saw Eloy Jimenez, you worried about him pulling a hammy round in first.
Told you they would drive out in those cars to introduce the players, and I'd be like, get him inside. Don't let him sit back.
Buckle up, Eloy.
Oh, do you remember when Rick Hahn was mad that people were calling him injury prone?
He is not injury prone. He just is on the injured list a lot, but he is not prone to injury because that is not that was a miss. That was one of his times. Rick misspoke.
Who's left?
Who's left?
Moncada. Is he?
Luis Robert Jr.
Right? Luis Robert Jr.
He's still...
That's different?
He made an all-star game. I think it's different.
He doesn't symbolize failure yet.
No.
He's still a guy that you think you can be...
Right.
He's got to be part of the next build.
Yeah,
the rebuild.
Does. Yeah, he's under contract for a while.
He's affordable.
I said that I thought... He would be an all-star this year again, and I thought he'd be the starter in the game over Mike Trout. Do you remember that? Because I felt like Trout has been breaking down. And by the way, Trout probably won't be back for the year. So all the good things worked out to get him a starter, except for his season.
He's got to stay healthy. He's got to learn that.
Yeah, he's got to figure it out.
Tough reality.
All right, 312-644-6767. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nor Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.